We're so excited to share a new addition to the Critical Role family with our podcast, Midst. In this semi-improvised audio drama, journey to the small desert planet of Midst and follow the lives of three complicated antiheroes as they deal with falling moons, unsolved murders, cult brainwashing, supernatural darkness, and a whole clusterfuck of cosmic problems. Look to the Midstal of the Week, a.k.a. Wednesdays, for new weekly episodes at Midst.co, your favorite podcast app, or Critical Role's YouTube channel.
Welcome to Foresighted Dive, Critical Role's monthly talk show featuring a roundtable discussion about the events and characters of our current campaign, alongside a heavy helping of hijinks. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Critical Role and youtube.com/Critical Role, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. Let's dive into the chaos.
Hello, and welcome to Foresighted Dive. I'm Taliesin Jaffe, your 18th tavern keeper, and no, you did not miss anything. We do not roll to see who hosts tonight because we're not doing that anymore. You're welcome. End of explanation. That's very, very tired laughing there. Now back to your regularly scheduled four-sided cold opening, gobbledygook. Now with a double-down dose of befuddled buffoonery, goonery, and tiny razor-sharp shards of cosmic nihilism for the lulls. Is anyone relating to this? I hope so. I hope not. It's rough. You know that awkward moment when you go splunk and dunk yourself headfirst into a pit of lava and your friends are all like, why? Okay, no? Well, I do, and more on that later. Tonight, the CEO of Critical Role and cartography nerd, Travis Willingham, talks about why Grog hasn't shown up in Campaign 3 yet, which must be so awkward for you, because Matt Mercer has now had, two of my former characters already. Okay. Yeah, don't worry, buddy, it'll happen to you eventually. Matt Mercer is also here. But you haven't seen him yet because format changes are fun, aren't they?
That's fine.
We promise he's not a secret simulacra. The 160 pounds of ice backstage is just for a fancy little party Travis Willingham is not invited to. Ashley Johnston is here and invited to the party. And she is basically perfect. 10-10, no notes. You're doing great. And be sure to stick around after the break. We'll be playing Foresighted Dive's first official anxiety game gauntlet. They have all been unofficial anxiety game gauntlets, but we're calling it what it is now. Three of your favorite anxiety-inducing board games from your childhood with some truly childish Critical Role spins will be played. So welcome back to Foresighted Dive. Let's just do a fucking show. Welcome back. Let's begin the night with our opening discussion segment. What the fuck is up with that?
Yeah.
What
the fuck is up with that menu? Let's talk about that great tree. That we have so many great trees. We have so many great trees in our game. But we met a new tree.
Yes, you did.
So that was so exciting.
I'm so glad you met the new tree.
Yeah, it's really, I felt like.
But look how they spell it. Is that anywhere?
Yes.
Is that how you spelled it? On
not
your...
at all. When
no.
I saw the
Did
true
you
spelling.
Do anything like that?
I mean,
that
no.
Is not what
I started with an A. I got a V in there.
Yeah, Yvonne Tremere.
Yvonne?
Yeah, with like Tremere, like the vampire clan.
Tremere.
Yeah. I had Yvonne.
And then I veered, so I knew it was.
Veer.
I had EVON space TRAVERE.
Oh, you were
pretty close.
And an apostrophe.
I was
pretty close.
He always
but
apostrophe.
I
still
there
wrong.
Was like a, I know. There was like a, it's all one name.
This is, yeah.
Is that his first name, his last name, or both?
He's forgotten part of his name. Yvonne Trevier is just the title of it these days.
It's
what their friends called
okay.
him.
And,
juicy.
Yeah.
Or it was the last Starbucks copy they got.
This'll work.
Fine.
Is this Max Headroom lore?
Wait, is Yvonne Trevier his name?
Yvonne Trevier is his name.
That's something that he remembers.
Correct. It's the portion of the name he remembers and kind of become the title of the Tree of Atrophy ever since.
I gotta say, I love the Shattered Teeth so much.
Me too.
I love the Shattered Teeth so much, and you Like everything we found there has been so wonderful.
I know, it was like the perfect appetizer, right? It served the function of just priming your appetite enough to want to eat more. And then we got shuttled off to something else.
We're gonna go back.
I wanna go back.
Yeah, we're going back. Like, yes.
That's my post-moon honeymoon is going to be.
A little tour of the teeth?
Oh man, yeah, I wanna floss the teeth, man. I don't know.
Hey, yes.
Island. That came out real weird.
I love Matt's like hidden lore face when he's like, that's his name. Because there's a forgotten name behind it, and you know that Matt clearly knows the answers.
He's always got his weird stuff going. Then I always have my headcanon that I forget to tell him, and then I feel bad about. So there's always weird little bits. But you have a whole continent that you've more or less worked out with the teeth.
More or less. I mean, like loosely in places. You know, I don't develop and divine it all way in advance. But
right.
I have it loosely outlined, and then as the story and the focus requires, I fine tune and develop ahead of you guys, like laying the tracks in front of the train as we go.
Can I ask a dumb question? So I know we've had like the Sun Tree, another, what was the tree in Wildmount that was also massive out
in
the Wild Wilds?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you. I was thinking of those like God-given trees, but when I was listening to you describe this one, my mind went to Calamity and the tree that was in the middle of it. Did Calamity inform or change your plans for Avantrevere or where it came from or its origin?
Oh, Avantrevere was developed in the shadow of Calamity. Like, this is part of the collaborative world-building idea of, like, you know, certain events inform the next bit of world-building. So I had the idea of some sort of an entity that existed due to the events of the Calamity that kind of represents the loss and the kind of regret of that era, but I hadn't clarified it yet. And then when we were developing Calamity with Brennan and the whole Gaudrashari, like, history was tied into that, then... That was kind of where the culmination of that idea came about. It was like, okay, cool, I can go ahead and now clarify this tree. And yeah, there are many great and powerful trees that exist in Exandria, and the tree is such a great symbol to utilize for not just extended and long life, but it is like the central image of nature's vitality. Mm. And so seeing trees of different sizes and different levels of exuberance and that sort of changing the colors with the seasons, it gives you kind of a sense of powerful, natural, ancient capability. And so to have a tree that is the tree of atrophy, it already kind of gives you this kind of like darker shift of your expectation of an entity of nature,
which was the intended. I was prepared for fight.
I know you were.
And then I got in there and I was like, this is so much better.
Oh yeah, so much better and worse all at the same time. Yeah.
I love how many escape pods from cultural escape pods we keep finding from the Calamity.
Yeah.
Of just like whole cultures that had like gotten a bunker to wait it out, or shot themselves into space, or turned inward and turned into a tree of knowledge. Like it's really fascinating. I can't wait to find more little pockets of pre-Calamity world out there.
That's kind of the one of the things that I was really excited about when I was developing Exandria, was because a lot of this came from, and the impetus of the Calamity came from, the idea that I wanted gods and divine powers to influence the world, but I didn't want the gods to be present, because if there are beings that powerful that supposedly have that much influence and investment in the world around you, why would your shitty heroes ever do anything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be like, well, things are bad, let's go tell the gods to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a challenge for me logically when trying to empower, you know, the rough and tumble up and coming heroes that form a found family and go to against the odds. Why not just go to the gods to do the problems for you? And like in that logical space, I had to find a way to pull the gods out of the world but still have their presence felt. And that was where the Divine Gate and the Calamity, all that kind of lore came about. But then in developing the Calamity itself and kind of fleshing out what that did, it turned Exandria into essentially a post-apocalyptic history. You know, it's a reset button on the world, and some cultures survived and many didn't. And all that is buried or slowly being uncovered and sometimes cataloged by the Cobalt Soul and others, or exploited and abused by others still. So it's a fun, ripe landscape for mining and developing.
Mm-hmm.
I never think about it as a post-apocalyptic game, but it really is. Like, it is a post-apocalyptic fantasy game. That's really, and no one ever does that story 300 years later. Or
yeah, it's always like right after, or nobody recovers, and it's just Mad Max type of environment. This is like enough time after where society has recovered for the most part. Those who survived
and forgotten, for largely.
Yeah. Very few people left who really know what the hell went down.
And I don't think any of us in any of the three campaigns have like cataloged which areas were rocked the hardest. Like I remember in some random research about Whitestone that they like opened their borders to try and allow like Calamity refugees in. And I was like, oh, yeah. Was right. Because that was a whole thing too. So like we don't even know what parts of the world got like hit the worst and others that might have been like spared a bit.
Oh yeah. Well, like, I mean, the area where Whitestone was.
We were just talking, yeah.
No, you start with the area where Whitestone was.
Yeah, those that lived there were wiped out by the struggle between the Dawn Father, the Knowing Mistress, and the Chained Oblivion. Mm-hmm. And that was what eventually sealed the Chained Oblivion, but also mortally wounded, or not mortally, but like, you know, heavily wounded the Knowing Mistress and sent her into hiding.
Right.
And she kind of still bears the wound from that battle. But as part of the kind of the attempt to bring life back to the landscape that battle had wiped out, that was where the planting of the Sun Tree came from and why it's a symbol of kind of her growth and power in that space. And while people have come and gone, the curses of the land have kind of kept people at bay, because even though that Sun Tree is powerful, there's still kind of a darkness that kind of sits in the parched wood around from that realm. And it wasn't until really the early Darolos had come over and, you know, settled Whitestone that it kind of had regrouped and began building itself as a new society.
Right.
Post Calamity was kind of where Whitestone kind of got their shit together.
Yeah. But,
yeah, Vontravere was cool. It's like you can never have enough time with a tree like that. You want to like ask as many questions you can before you like offend the great tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it like squashes you for some reason.
Yeah. I've been sitting on that pipe for so long too. I've been waiting for a moment. I've only got to use that pipe once so far.
What made you decide that?
Twice, technically.
Twice, yes. Exactly. But they weren't there for that.
Yeah.
That was a wild choice. Yeah. What made you even think of that?
How do I put this? No, it's Ashton is very much right now just deciding to befriend everything that doesn't seem like it should be befriended and piss off everything that seems like it should be taken care of. It was like, this is a big like tree made of zombie, like weird zombie dead people and like whatever the fuck is in here, and it's clearly like off and weird, but it sounds pretty cool. Like, the person we're talking to sounds really nice. I was like, okay, I can relate. And I was like, yeah, come on in. I wanna, you have trouble remembering things. I wanna see a thing that maybe you don't remember. So cool. Wow.
I love it.
Is that a departure for Ashton? Was it previously piss everything off?
It was previously quietly and with a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not acknowledging anything was why me? And of course I'm going to be the one to lose. And yeah, just a constant, I'm the person who loses.
Got it.
Yeah, everything shitty happens, but now it's kind of the, you know, you're getting out and kind of becoming a hero and, you know, winning a little bit. So yeah, it's, you know, it recognized a similar soul in that tree.
Wow.
Or that soul was recognized, and like Ashton was like, yeah.
He's got a shard sitting in here.
I no bigs. That.
No biggies. No big deal.
Whatever does that mean? I don't know.
NBD.
No big deal. Shard. We'll, you know, we'll talk about shards. Well, I mean, we can hop to that right now. Lava.
Lava. Yes.
Yeah. Lava. Yeah. That was pretty.
Lava.
That's pretty intense.
That's my red button lava. Pushing shit. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Please continue.
Am I still talking about lava? Okay. Because we both jumped, but yeah.
Well, you did, and then I panicked. Because you were getting real hurt.
I was.
And I was like, well, this is...
Was it panic?
Yeah. I was just like, I think... Because there's a part of me that I was like, are you supposed to die in there? And then that's how you're supposed
not
to get
supposed
the thing,
to do
but
anything.
I just got nervous.
That'd be the most anticlimactic.
Yeah,
like,
I was just...
Don't wait, guys. He knows what he's doing.
Good luck.
Just give him another 30 seconds. Hold on. Any minute now, he's going to rise like a phoenix from the ashes.
It's
Smash cut to, should we pick it up and go?
Yeah, should we just?
You know, it's getting kind of hot in here.
Let's just skedaddle. God. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I felt very good about it.
Good.
I felt that that was the appropriate action to take. So, you know. I will say it's a perfect example. I'm gonna let you finish.
No, I was huffing and puffing. I didn't really have anything I was gonna say.
No, I was saying that's a perfect example of setting up a challenge without a solution in mind, which is one of my favorite things to do in this game. Not every puzzle I have an answer for. I just set up a challenge and I'm like, figure it out. There was no right answer to that.
There was not? Okay, that's
you
good.
You know, there were possibilities I thought of, but there was no right answer. And it was just like, let's see what you all do.
Because I was wondering that. I was wondering if there was a right answer, and I messed it up by jumping in.
No.
And I was like, but I don't know. I just was it had to be done.
I liked it. I liked it.
It was great.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll probably be okay, because fire, but lava's different. I don't know.
We actually, it was actually a fairly good allocation of responsibility in that fight. Like, we didn't bunch up. We got the, what the hell did Chetney have? And then I went invisible. What were we trying to hold on to?
The shard,
the actual shard, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And then, like, once he was in, like, you just went for it, which was great. Like, there's got to be a risk take on somebody's part. Yeah.
There's got to be. And I feel like so much of, there's been moments where I felt like I didn't do anything. Of like moments of inaction where it's like, I wonder if I would have done this, if I could have helped them in this moment, or if I could have saved that person. So I think it was a choice. But
I will say to that, like, rarely do you regret in tabletop games taking action.
Yeah, that's true. That's
more often than not, you regret not taking action.
Very much.
So, yeah. Like,
yes,
follow that
impulse. Yes, that is very true.
Follow that impulse.
Italicize and underline that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, even if it's not the smartest choice, it's still a choice, and it drives the story in unique ways.
Yeah.
And you accept it, and you follow where it takes you. And that to me is really kind of like the joy and spice of these type of games.
Yes.
So watching you embrace that more and more, I'm like,
your chaos has been inspiring.
Oh yeah.
Oh, thanks.
And it was great also because there was like a choice to ignore the BBG, the BBEG in the corner. Like Ludinus was still over there, or who we thought was still Ludinus, in the room that was fairly small, and the lava and all these other things, and it was like you just disregarded that and went for your friend, which was great.
I mean, it's more important.
Well, the cool.
I mean, I don't know.
Friendship.
No. Continue, please.
I don't know. I don't.
Okay.
I was just mumbling. I'll keep you. You go.
No, we're a well-oiled machine. Yeah, it was for that particular battle too, because it was like I knew the intent was to escape. Mm-hmm. So it was trying to build a conflict where it wasn't about just trying to do the most damage necessarily, but for you all trying to find a way out and how to muck up that particular plan in the middle of it.
We were actually a pretty, considering also that we were tapped.
Yeah.
And like, I had nothing left. I don't know about everybody else, but like, I think I was even out of rage. I had nothing left. And like,
good to know.
We were still somehow a reasonably well-oiled machine. Yeah. Like that was... Yeah. I don't remember the last time that we actually like worked with that much teamwork and strategy. Yeah. Like three campaigns through.
Yeah, that's what nuts. I mean. Like 8 years later, there's a little bit of teamwork.
Yes, yes.
We're doing it, Peter.
We're doing it.
Yes. Starting to believe.
Yes.
I
love you so much. Yes.
You guys. I mean, it was like a really fun fight, and I'm.
It was a good fight.
Yeah, I love the. It felt like such the perfect thing of like, of course I'm going to jump into this now. Like, what else am I going to do?
It's like the best fight. It's the best kind of like spicy food fight because it's an interesting room. There's a massive obstacle. There feels like there's a puzzle element. There's no clear exits. And a massive target is on the map that's overpowering us with allies. So you're trying to clock like the obstacle, how to get out, what is the puzzle or the solution that Matt's trying to make you think about? And then there is a massive character on the other side that's making your heart race, like, the whole time. And you can't really communicate, like, Alpha Team, go this way, Bravo, you go this way, Charlie, you're on. Like, and it was just a fucking free-for-all, but, like, like we talked about, like it kind of just happened organically and naturally.
Everyone seemed to know what they were best at and get into it. It was really fun to watch.
Even when that tilt happens,
yeah,
right? Because there's always that tilt where like, we're okay, we're not okay! And like all of a sudden it's really like trending downward.
Oh shit.
Well, it's funny, because when you start a campaign, you know your character strengths, you're getting to know your character strengths. And once you get comfortable with what your character's capable of, then it becomes learning about what everyone else is capable of. Then once you learn what everyone else is capable of, then it's figuring out how you can combine those two things and both find comfort in tactics and know what to focus on and how you can adapt without having to communicate to, you know, intrinsically what that, you know, what things are capable in that moment. And so any battle where you get to watch that kind of become kind of a smooth, organic acceptance of what you're all doing as a team is really fun. And when I roll really bad, that also helps.
Yes. So did that happen? Was that what happened?
To us.
I don't remember.
So.
Counterspell? Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
God, that was
but that was such a good moment.
It was a great moment. It was a great moment.
Oh, it was so good.
Had to let things fall as they lie, and sometimes you get your ninth level spell.
That's the most that Ludinus has taken an offensive to us, right? Like even at the key, he was.
Oh, at the key, he wasn't even paying attention.
I don't even think he knew. I was
you're
hoping that
like
he
had
a lot going on.
I was really hoping
he
was
multitasking.
I was hoping that no one
on his shoulder.
No one would have recognized us from that. I was really hoping that we made a clean getaway and just killed everyone who had seen us.
Yeah,
which was one why I killed them. Poor fucking guy was like, we can't have a witness. No. We're gonna try and get out of here with no one knowing who we are. Clearly, it didn't work. But
well. Damn, that was a fun one.
Yeah,
I know. I thought we had I was like, this is too easy, and then he turned into snow, and I was like, ah, it's fine.
It was a good test.
And what a good piece out. That was a super creepy piece out.
Oh, it was a great piece out.
That was fun. He's a fucked up character. I love Ludinus. I'm excited for you guys to maybe interact more.
Oh yeah,
maybe interact more.
I don't know.
He's so casual, so blasé.
So there's a ticking clock, y'all.
I'm sure we can turn him around.
Make him see things your way.
Yeah, I'm sure we can bring him back. The power of friendship.
Yeah, an obsession for a century. And he's like, you know what?
You know what?
You're right.
I can give up on
power
this.
Of love.
We, even though I've
have,
yeah, the power
we
of
have
love.
Loved, we have won with the power of love before.
Yes,
power
we
of friendship
have.
And love has actually turned the tide before.
Yes.
That's true.
That's true.
Not with this group of assholes.
I doubt that will happen with Ludinus.
This is not a lovable group.
Who knows?
Essek Thales already warned him about the power of love.
Yeah.
Try having friends. Actually, I will not do that.
No.
I'm good. But thank you.
Thank you so much.
I have a puzzle waiting at home.
Yeah. Fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I love a puzzle at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than we got a shard now. We have a shard, and there's so many different things that we can do with. I'm excited by. Technically two shards.
Yeah. What do they do?
I don't know.
You.
What do they do?
You
can't
no,
do that.
No, you're not allowed
you
to
can't
do that.
Sit here.
I am excited about like figuring this shit out. So I'm like.
I know. Me too.
Yeah, I'm happy to like.
I want to talk about it here, but also.
We'll talk about
I'm
it later.
Curious what'll happen.
Yeah.
What do you think will happen?
What like the with the shards? Voltron.
Yeah.
I genuinely do.
Well, we've only got hands on in scene one. The other one is
correct.
In hit them. Right.
You've been told that he is a bearer of the shards. He is Titan blood.
So it's in there somewhere.
There was one in
bearer
there supposedly.
Of the show.
Because there was a like if I remember at least from my there was like a portal open, they were doing a thing and I got sucked through. So some object or otherwise just sort of got all weird with.
Well the shard was what the mm-hmm. you know, your father, essentially the leader of the Shari, had received from Avon Trevir and then used apparently for this ritual that created this, whatever you are now.
How very Macbeth.
Yeah, no.
Is Ashton just a teleportation gone horribly wrong?
I mean.
A transporter gone horribly wrong, just rearranging the molecules?
You roll that d6 and it's all over the fucking
place.
Oh, d4. D4, yeah.
It's not that bad.
Relying on talents.
Yeah, the whole basis of the subclass was him looking at the wild magic barbarian and went, nah, this isn't weird enough.
It really wasn't. It's really, it was like, I was.
It's an underwhelming subclass.
I have opinions on that subclass.
Yeah.
So.
I still feel like,
I
still am curious if you're supposed to keep the shard. both of them.
I think I'm supposed to do whatever I damn well please with it.
That's true.
No, yeah.
You do you.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm sure that something will happen. And I'm amused by the notion of the Wonder Twins. So, and I'm already pretty crazy. I don't know if putting more crazy in me is a silly good idea.
But wasn't the warning that if a single bearer has both of them, that you will explode?
I mean, people say a lot of things. How would they know?
Yeah.
Like, has anyone ever actually tried it?
Tried.
And gone, well, should write that down.
Yes.
Look at that. That's an encouraging face. And I, for one, second his encouragement.
I'm willing to have this conversation.
I'm kind of team pumping it all into Hashton.
Yeah, touching the tips.
Touching the shark
tips.
I have a.
But I know we there was a warning. There was a conversation.
Warnings all the time.
Because I feel like it's your shard.
Yeah. It's not like a.
What if you guys fusion ha? What if you. Do you ever watch Dragon Ball where they fusion ha? We did it, yeah. And then you like form one, but you have to talk in tandem. Like on the count of three, say the first number that comes to mind. One, two, three.
Nine. Shit.
You didn't even say that. No entry.
Maybe we'll abandon that idea. Maybe we'll just let that one go.
There's a lot to go wrong. See?
Nine. Oh, no. I abstain, Your Honor. I abstain.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you both have it.
I don't know. We'll fuck around.
Well, I don't think I'm supposed to have the shard. I still feel like I don't know.
We'll
talk about it.
We'll figure it out.
When it comes down to it, I think it's just the two of us are the only people who should have a say in what happens to this shit.
Well, how come I get a say?
Because you're insane and fire-based.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's true. It's a pretty good argument, concisely
That's
made.
Pretty good argument.
Yeah.
And I will. I'll jump on.
Everybody
that.
Else in the team is either distracted or damaged or both, and you are neither distracted nor damaged. So
not at all.
You're
just
horrifyingly
perfect.
Probably the closest thing to a sane human being. Well, with you is a close second.
Yeah, Chet's pretty close.
I mean, it's disturbing actually that you are probably one of the sanest people on the team.
In the group.
Yes, something's got to ground us. And a hard basis of reality and well thought backstory.
I mean, Aurum's pretty. He's pretty. Feels pretty solid.
He's. Oh God.
But could be.
What an aloof piece of shit.
He's going through
some
stuff.
That's a grief ball.
Aurum is so messed up right now, you guys.
Yeah, no.
Please do not rely on Aurum.
I know.
That baby boy.
Aurum is good under pressure, but if you take that pressure away, there's just nothing but like, there's like 75% Percy happening in there. It's so bad. Yeah.
And I don't mean don't rely on Aurum. I mean just like he needs a hug.
No, he needs a
Please
hug.
Please give him a hug.
He needs a therapist.
He needs
a hug and a therapist.
If only there was one in the group.
Oh, if only.
If only I had gone to the Shore Shrew therapist as well.
I love it. And if only that therapist wasn't a homicidal maniac.
Oh, boy.
Y'all, perfect pairing.
Oh, you all are a mess.
Yeah, yes. I love it.
I really love it.
Too. I love the combo of this group.
It's a series of unfortunate sidekicks plus Jean Grey. It's really great.
Yes.
Plus Jean Grey.
Very much so.
It's fascinating.
Does it say scrying?
It says scrying. What's up with scrying?
Yeah, how does
it work?
Scrying.
How does it work?
During a Montrevere.
Who knows?
My menu makes sense.
It does.
Yes. Yes.
You also don't have to look at it.
No.
We were just using it as an internal monologue.
I still, one of my favorite moments is when you were like, no, you don't have to roll for that.
You don't roll for
scry. And it was like, how after all this time do we not,
It wasn't
nobody?
Just that. If you've gone back and watched the clip, the best part is watching Matt for, I think, 6 minutes?
Yeah, it's a decent
just
amount of time.
Just letting it happen. Letting the back and forth happen, watching like the subtle facial expression, the eyebrows come up, they go down, disappointment starts to flood, then resignation,
he's thinking
then
about
enjoyment.
What to order for dinner when he gets home.
Yep. And then at some point he's like, there's a good clock on this. I'm not going to stop it at all. And it's not until I think Sam goes like, what does she add? You don't roll for scry.
Look,
Nothing. You don't roll for scry.
When you've provided the information about how a certain rule functions multiple times, and then we get to this point.
Over 8 years.
The best lesson is to just give them the rope to hang themselves with. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You the best lessons are the ones that leave a mark.
Yeah.
I
think
that's my favorite.
I think if we hadn't asked what you add, you would have rolled and he would have just told you. And not right. mention that you
didn't
roll.
Oh, that's true. That would have been, been great.
I roll a 4, and then you go, and it's like, a 4 was all I needed? You didn't actually need anything.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
We've got a couple things going on outside of the game, too. So yeah. People are prone to having brain farts.
I mean, I have brain farts all the time.
Yeah.
As we know.
Yeah.
It's just this game, I can't seem to wrap my brain around it.
To be fair, it is at times a very complicated game.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I think Fern is your most involved character, actually.
Oh.
I've seen you, in my opinion, crack out the most like creative use of your spells, especially as a druid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks.
Yeah, man.
Man, I feel like it's also really helpful to have consistency at a table. Because you're like, oh, okay, I'm understanding how this works now.
Yeah.
So
it's good to have you here.
Yeah. It's good to be. Because I always feel like I would like, you know, you need a couple sessions to kind of get in the groove, but oh God, Fern's fun. This group is definitely absolute chaos.
I'm enjoying the chaos.
And I love that we all sort of took that path of just, let's go a little bonkers.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I've overclassified, and I definitely feel like my Vox Machina was very classically heroic, and then the Mighty Nein were almost classically villainous that just made a hard turn at some point. Mm-hmm. Or they were almost, like, you could have seen that turning into a villain team really easily.
They were the Guardians of the Galaxy.
They're the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Anti-hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this team, this team was, like, kind of the X-Men, or very much, like, everyone was kind of, like, the thing that I wrote is everyone was a sidekick. If you,
X-Men is written by Hunter S. Thompson.
Everyone
was a backstory NPC.
Yeah,
everyone was somebody else's backstory NPC.
Every character
even Imogen as Jean Grey is Liliana's backstory NPC. Mm-hmm. I left my daughter behind so that I could I could have this life for us.
Yep. Yes. 100%.
Everyone is a backstory NPC.
I'm like a mid-level hired villain in a video game. You're running on like a DC Comics Batman, you know, like secondary villain.
Yes. I'm the one no one can get over.
You were working for a mob, basically.
Yeah, that's
you were working. You were like a low-level mobster.
I like that I'm in Batman's world.
Yeah, and it's and like a robot sidekick.
And I'm a villain in that.
We'll make you canon.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
Yes.
Yeah, like and there's like a robot sidekick to a hunter, like straight out of Borderlands. Like it's all in, and then like literally a soldier of another PC character.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. These are all kind of like people who shouldn't be anywhere.
You're right. It's like after two campaigns, the NPCs went, I want to crack at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be the.
We
oh my God.
Titans.
Yeah. We are Lower Decks. This is fucking Gandria Lower Decks.
Yes.
I fucking got it.
I actually love that analogy. That is great.
Me too. That is correct.
Oh, I was going to go the Lieutenant Barkley, but that's way better.
Perfect.
That's perfect. It's kind of the vibe.
Yeah.
No more leveling. You'll have to stay like here because if you go any higher, you'll start getting command positions.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah, we got to put a governor on that ship.
No more
limit
pips.
Ourselves.
I think it's part of the fun of like Whitestone. Like previous campaigns, you'd be like at the table, but at the time, like Vox Machina was like stepping into like leadership roles as these things were happening. And then in campaign 2, the leadership was kind of the villain, you know, in a lot of ways, and removed, and you were kind of like working underneath society and in secret in a lot of ways. In this campaign, you're working with the same heroes at the table of leadership that were there from campaign 1, and so you're all you're kind of like the B team.
Oh, yeah.
But the B team, that's probably the most important thing because everyone else is so high profile and tied in with like the macro problems and tangles of Exandria that you have the best chance at really doing anything.
Oh, God, that's horrifying.
It's horrifying.
Not
that's why I love
the
it.
The West Coast Avengers, but not the Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah,
either.
You're
just like right in the middle.
The Flyover State Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Defenders? No. Better than Defenders.
I see Shadowy Hole is on there.
Mm.
Oh,
Don't make me say
love you, Danny.
This was just an attempt to fuck with me. Don't think I don't know.
Talisa, talk about your shadowy hole.
I was going to ask everyone's opinion about the shadowy hole. And like how it, not making it weird. I want to, but no.
Montrevere was in a big shadowy hole.
It was in a big shadowy hole.
It's true.
That is a testament to 8 years of professional tabletop role.
Yes. We made it.
And I'm relearning how to play a barbarian, and part of that is reminding myself that like physical damage is just part of it. Like, okay, this looks stupid, and then just kind of
you touch it for the group.
You touch it for the group.
Yes, 100%.
Exactly. That's why you have healers.
Like, if we would have just jumped, would you know, just not have planned anything, just like jumped into the shadowy hole, would we have just?
You would have hit the branches of the tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
it would have hurt. Pachinko'd to death.
Okay.
Well, no. You would have had to roll to see how much damage you would have taken, and it would have not been great.
Okay.
It would have hurt a lot.
You know, like if you swan dive 1,000 feet off of a cliff into the rocks below.
Yeah, it's gonna be rough.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a rough landing. Okay.
Yeah.
But I remember being in Vox, and there was like a spiral staircase down into the abyss, and we forgot to like, I don't know, disable a magic glyph, and there were stairs that moved, and almost all of us died so fast because we didn't know what the fuck was going on. There was actually like a reasonable approach to a what would have previously been a instant death experience.
Yeah, yes. We figured it out a little bit some ways.
I think that was in the Necromancer's laboratory when you were chasing after Aishan. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole bit with the going down the hiking in and getting stuck in between the rocks and the hiking in.
Oh, I hated
that. That was stressful.
I hated that. That is something I despise.
Yes.
And me and Marisha still occasionally watch online like videos of, you know, two kids that went hiking and went into this cave and got stuck when it flooded, and they only got one of them out, and the other was in there for 72 hours. And we're like, why are we watching this? We hate this.
Yes.
We hate spelunking. We hate the idea of going into these tiny little cabinets. Watching the descent is like the most masochistic thing that we do like every year for Halloween. Whoa. But it's a great film.
So good.
And but like I every time we watch those, the video finishes, me and Marisha just go like, never.
It's like
no.
Never.
Those terrible haunted houses that they make you sign a waiver. We will never do this to you, by the way. There are rules. The ones where they do the balloon pressure, like where you have to do the crawl space, and then they like literally pressurize a balloon to catch you and
to
like,
push you, and so you feel like you're being suffocated and collapsed on.
No,
like that's not even scary. Oh, that's just cruel.
You can't just get off. Explain that a little bit more, just
wait,
so I cannot sleep tonight.
So I will demonstrate. Like you're walking, and then you have like a thing where you have to crawl under like a vent into a vent or something to get to the next room, but you have to get on your hands and knees. And then they have like a bouncy house above you that they just that pressurizes and then pins you to the ground.
Oh god, I'm like Jean Jacket from Nope.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh no.
No power on earth.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Like, does it suffocate you?
It holds you for a little while and then lets you go and then you.
Oh, okay, just a little while.
No, there are these like premium haunted houses. Like I know people have gone to where you sign waivers in advance, and it's
I've
like
gone to one.
I've got a friend who works at one right now, and they were.
You've
like,
gone to one?
I have.
What was
I had
like?
To sign the waiver.
No.
It was scary.
Well, this is years ago.
That
this
was
like
years ago.
During the first last.
Yes,
book.
This was a very long time ago.
They did a fire one that I went to once, and I'm okay, you know, thankfully I'm that okay with that,
what's
yeah,
because you you go through alone, so that's what's hard because you're like
this. The new one isn't alone.
You don't go with a group. So you sign the waiver because, I mean, you could get really scared. Like, and then you go through, and then you're like, why am I doing this? And then when you sign the waiver and you're like, I'm volunteering to just do this? Why? You just get curious and you have to follow through.
I'm gonna send you a link to the one that my friend is working in Anaheim, which includes you can pay extra for them to like eventually pull you out, put you in a van, and then drive you to a second location for more weird shit.
Yeah,
what do you mean pay?
Oh, you're hearing from a friend who goes to one of these who is saying like at one point they like put a bag over your head and grab you into a room.
Don't try
and,
this at home, kid.
No, and then you like
I don't know where we've gone.
You get told like you hear like You start getting shot at by running through something, and you feel even pelted, and well, you have a bag on your head.
I can't handle the Indiana Jones ride whenever it like shoots air at you.
Oh, the little gas arrows.
I duck every time.
And then they pull you up into another room, and they take the bag off the head, and they hand you a paintball gun, and you see them pulling other people through, and you realize that it's just other people. You're now shooting them with paintballs.
Oh,
and I'm like,
God.
Why would you do this? Oh, yeah. Or later on, they put them on like a vacuum table, and like, they suck it in, and they just hold it until they start blacking out.
What?
I'm like, why would you do any of this? This is, I'm good. I'm gonna stay home, I'm gonna play video games.
Critical Role,
I'm
gonna give away candy. The use of away candy. Premium haunted houses. Please do not take this as an endorsement of any kind. Go with your own
To bring it back to the conversation, though, the things that I would never do and that freak me out, I sometimes do bring in some way into our D&D games to make you all go, and it was successful, and I'm happy.
I was going to ask. So.
And when you said you were like feet first or head first, it was like those both are awful
it's the
options.
Most awful question.
Yes.
Like instantly your heart rate goes.
I was like,
most awful question.
Or head first was really rough.
The worst question is, are you weaker at the elbow or the shoulder? That's still. Shout out to Brennan.
I kept thinking.
Oh wow.
Yes.
I kept thinking about the town. That crazy guy who I love who's building up the mining town.
Who
keeps going into the mines underneath this town
yes,
alone?
YouTube channel.
The guy who bought a mining town and is like renovating it.
I'm not here.
But he's turning into a bed and breakfast. But in the meantime, he's just like putting it together. And like occasionally he's like, we're gonna go into the mines. I'm like, don't do it.
It's Minecraft LARPing. We're just waiting for a creeper to come out. Like.
Yes. But he goes down alone, and you're like, this is dangerous.
Me and Danny's expressions are the same.
I like the one where he found the box where they used to keep the explosives. It was like, danger, don't go here. And he was like, oh, look at that.
Let's see what's in there.
Yeah, literally.
I'm just looking for genes. And you're like, bro,
stop it,
bro. Darwinism?
Look, a little bit of denim. I think I'm on the right track.
Once again, stay inside, play video games. That's the goal. I'm not a risk taker at all.
Yeah, you know, this has been fun. I think we've all enjoyed this. Our like little bit of post Halloween.
No, I was doing fine. I brought my hoodie. I was just hanging out.
We need to do another haunted house run.
Travis in a haunted. I kind of want you to try one.
Not in a premium one. I mean, they'll need to sign a waiver for when I fucking kick him in the head.
Like, are you feeling some anxiety?
Yes!
In that case, I think it's time that you pulled from the Tower of Inquiry.
You're
really feeling it.
Terrible. So just to
stop talking about this.
I love y'all. Just to reestablish this, one of us pulls a block, reads the number, and the magnificent and disturbed Danny Carr reads us the corresponding question.
Indeed.
And if the tower stuff happens, if
it's
the tower falls,
too.
Consequences and
a
stuff.
Fresh one.
A fresh one.
Fresh I feel like this tower. this like partially separated brick is talking to me. It's like, take the easy one. Oh, nine.
Nine.
Oh yeah, here.
Number nine.
Nine.
Thank you,
nine.
Travis.
All right.
I didn't fail.
You did great. Okie dokie. From Squiggles. Describe your character's dream holiday if money was no limit.
Ooh. I think you already got an idea, Travis.
Yeah.
Travis,
you came up with something.
Do you have something you'd like to share with the group?
It would be. it would be. What is it called when you go to the resort and it's all inclusive? Yeah, but it's at a nudist colony. And it's on the beach, but it's surrounded by redwood trees. And every evening I would chop one of those down and then start to turn it into the high piece of art it was always destined to be, surrounded by beautiful naked people, deep into the night until the moon crested its full light into my eyes and I change, and then everyone dies.
Wow.
I was imagining it slightly up north. Too, so it was not just a nudist, but like a nudist colony in the snow, and everyone was very cold. And but that was just me.
I'd like to amend my answer. to that.
That's my headcanon. I know.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's rough.
Nothing against redwood trees; they're gorgeous, by the way.
No, I mean redwood trees are gorgeous.
I mean, I was going to go the nudist colony route, but I feel like I want to give a different answer.
Mm.
I mean. By all means.
Boy, you know, for as different as this group is, there are definitely some flow throughs.
There's some common threads.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've gotten naked so many times together by now.
Yes.
Team, I was going to say, Team Trauma over here should probably get naked a few times at this point. It's been, yeah. Team Sexy has been doing fine. Team Trauma could use some.
Time for Team Trauma to get naked.
Yes.
Which team am I? Time for Team Naked to get traumatized.
Team Naked.
I thought I was on Team Sexy.
Team Naked. Team Naked, baby.
I mean, I'll just radiate it.
I'm not arguing.
400.
What do you feel like would be Ashton's?
I don't know. I mean, like if I thought about the traditional like punker answer, it's like go into the woods, stay in a cabin, and like, you know, find like a little hobbit hole sort of thing, and like live on a farm for a while. But that doesn't quite seem
punker answer.
Yeah, like if you actually like a lot of punk rock kids just, you know, want to live in a bed and breakfast.
Oh, really?
Like Central California. Yeah, that is like weirdly the vibe.
I don't know.
Most that I talk to anyway.
This is going to be such an annoying answer, but I feel like it would be really funny. And I feel like Fern would like to go to something like Coachella. I feel like there's so many people here. They're all like dressed in nothing. There's music, there's food. Like,
how is Fern's answer not Burning Man?
Yeah, I know I was thinking Burning Man, but I probably more something in between those two.
Right. More.
Probably more.
She's more festival kid than art crawl.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Art crawl.
Drunk people. But she's money down easy for to whatever. Grab and like yeah, good music. Everyone's having a good time.
Who gave me these pills?
Yeah. I don't know what these are.
They said they're vintage.
And like a Woodstock. I feel like Woodstock would be like a good middle.
Like OG Woodstock or like 93 Woodstock where it's muddy or like 99 Woodstock or.
OG
Limp Bizkit ruined the world, that one.
Wow. No, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The only time Fred Durst had too much power.
Oh my God. Wait, we got to ask you one. So what about ghost ship pirate captain? If money was no object, what would be his ideal
thing? Oh my goodness. Novos.
What's the name of the ship? Crimson?
Crimson Abyss.
Crimson Abyss.
Captain Novos. Captain Novos would probably go to Dylan's closet because it's nice and temperate. Hard to make fog last too long there. Yeah. He can get some of that warmth he's been seeking for a while. You know,
what would be the on-world equivalent of like the Berlin nightclub scene of like where would you go for like a nice clean like not a falling apart industrial but like a nice like city that has like an art community but it's like, you know. I don't know where that would be, but like.
Oh, no, every major metropolis would have like a night scene like that. Yeah, like Amman would. I mean, Hupperdook definitely. Hupperdook's more like a rave town, though.
Something a little brutalist. I think that would be very much. A lot of cigarette smoking, you know, would definitely be.
A lot of black. Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, I would put that probably.
Movie Wings of Desire. Basically.
I mean, Dwendalian Empire, like Rexentrum would definitely have a brutalist
that underground. That would go over real well.
The college scene.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, Rexentrum would have a hell of a night scene.
Done. Ooh. Done and done.
That's
Rexentrum's got all those budding wizards, and they're like, oh, yeah, I want to, like, fuck with prestidigitation tonight. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Kaimal's just straight up Amsterdam. Like.
Yeah.
Have you seen you use your new ability from Captain Novos yet?
No.
Okay.
No, it hasn't
not
been
yet.
Enough time yet.
Really. Not yet.
I think that kind of covers that. Thank you, Squiggles. And if you have, thank you, Squiggles. Thank you. It's just such a great name. And if you have an evergreen question for our Tower of Inquiry, you can enter it at critroll.com/tower. And I'm not going to say the exclamation point this time.
Inquiry.
We're only pulling one.
Inquiry.
Apparently.
Maggie, you want to come pull one?
Yeah, just to make it fall down more.
Yeah, let's pull one more. Let's pull one more.
We'll do a lightning round. I'm not gonna like pull one block here. It's bullshit. This thing will stand here for episodes.
Yeah, pick a hard one.
Pick a hard one.
Pick a purple one. High or a green one.
Oh shit! You're going.
Ooh, yeah.
Just go. Ooh yeah.
Yeah, this one's.
Oh yeah, you're fucked. You are.
No, Matt.
That is a root canal.
He's gonna get it.
Boy.
The whole point is to get this and leave it. Extremely fragile for anyone else who comes through. Else. Yep.
Oh, that is so precarious.
Number 21.
Let's
See, well the goal is to fuck it up while you're there.
Not me.
Unless you're, you know, the next person who has to come on to the game, the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Then you just fuck it up even more. I, look.
No, I'm into it. I'm into it.
Bring
look,
the chaos.
I'm here for you, Matt. You know I'm on your side.
I know, I appreciate it.
Ragazaga, love
Ragazaga.
That. Ragazaga! says, what are some of your top tips you have on improvisation when role-playing? Talk to your people.
I mean, it's so simple, but listen. It's so easy to feel like when you're in a performance space, whether it be actual play or like with your friends at a table, you want to make them laugh, to be caught up in your head about your own ideas and to be thinking about what you're going to do. But that is the quintessential mistake that you make in an improvised space. Listen to each other. Be open and paying attention to what people are doing, because that will inspire you. That will trigger ideas. That'll give you they're gifts from your friends at the table that you can then take and run with, and you really build that collaborative space. You get stuck in your head and you end up pulling yourself back.
Don't worry about talking too much or talking too little. Mm. Just if you talk to like you don't want to take up all the air, but you want you know, and it's if you feel like you're falling back, you know, too far behind, talk to your other players and be like, I'm having trouble hopping in. Find somebody who you know just occasionally be like, so what's the deal, you know? Or,
yes.
I'll do that.
I think listening is the most important.
I do too. I'm
trying to think of my dumb tips. I think my dumb tips are. If you feel like you're getting, if you're stuck or not saying enough, stop looking at people. My ADD brain, like I will look away from someone that's talking so I can just hear them because it like frees up the rest of my brain.
Wow.
Usually if I'm watching them, I'm like watching their face move and then I am just totally fixated on what they're saying and not doing any multitasking, which is weird.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then I think the other one is like, make an ass of yourself. So like, if you're worried about sounding cool or saying something good, don't do that. Sometimes it's a great icebreaker to like start singing randomly or talk in a stupid voice or something that just kind of like
get over the embarrassment real quick.
Yeah, ruin the audition so the rest of it can be good.
That's good.
That is a good tip. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is kind of expanding on the listening, and it's the oldest. Not advice, but the oldest tip is yes-anding. It's like you don't stop a conversation if somebody asks you something or is like, should we try this? We'll be like, no.
And even
if your instinct is to disagree with what they're saying, be like, I don't know if I agree with that, but
yeah.
How can we take that idea and transition it to something else, you know? But the collaboration redirect. Is building on it, redirect and build upon it so you're still working with them as opposed to just denying
them. Yes.
And I love a playlist to get into character.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's huge.
I hate a playlist to get
into character. I know you know.
Thank you, Danny Carr.
Look, man.
I know. I feel like Talison and I could make playlists till the end of time.
Thank you for the Nick Cave album, by the way.
Do you like it?
I'm digging it. It's so good.
Yes.
It's odd.
Yeah.
Talking about music. Yeah, we are. We had a moment.
Yes, we had a moment.
But yeah,
When it came.
There's no shit.
I know.
But I love it so much. I got to send you some stuff. But yeah, you know, listen, make an ass of yourself, the whole thing. And
yes,
speaking of,
make an ass of yourself.
Life needs things to live. And with that, thank you, Ragazaga. Never living that one down. Thank you again. Send in stuff at the Tower of Inquiry. So feel free. It's lovely. But in the meantime, let's do a deep dive. Let's slide into deep dive. Danny Carr, can you freshen up this discourse with some carefully crafted queries?
Woo. I mean, I guess.
Thank you. Yes.
There you go.
I got my.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yours is.
Look how pretty yours is. Look at that wolf.
That wolf
is
beautiful.
Yours are always dangerous.
I don't know what you mean. So we're going to take turns pulling questions from our tankards. Sounds cool? Well, yeah, cool, great. I don't need your permission, but whatever. it's not how this show works. Hey, so Matt, let's start us off.
Your technique is exemplary.
I was just like, there's no fucks in here. I keep waiting for the point of.
I know. They fell out somewhere. We'll pick them up later.
Love you,
professionals.
Jesus. Okay, Matt.
What spell was Ludinus going to cast on the group, and what would it have done to them? Mm. He was casting a spell called Weird. That is a ninth level spell.
Weird.
Weird. That essentially, on the success on all the targets that are hit, it draws all their greatest fears into their reality. And they basically, every single round, take a shit ton of psychic damage, and it makes it difficult for them to maneuver, and, I mean, like, it's bad. Oh, ninth level spell.
It's like bad drug trip.
Yeah.
In the death for a couple of
yeah, we're like the top of your round, you all take like 4d10 psychic damage or something like that. I'll look at the specifics again.
Yeah, that would have been the enemy.
But what would have been their fears?
That would have been the fun bit was me. I'd be asking each of you, what is your deepest fear?
Oh, you would have asked. I love that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that. They get to tell me, and then I get to spend it against them. And there might be future opportunities to revisit that, maybe. I don't know.
All the trees of the world are made of metal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, 4d10 psychic damage. At the beginning. We're frightened. All of you become frightened, so you can't get closer to them.
Yeah.
And at the end of each turn, you you have to make a wisdom saving throw or take 4d10 psychic damage.
Oh my god.
So yeah, it's fun. It's fun. You all would it would have been bad.
I'm glad that did not happen.
That would have been really bad.
It's meant to be. It was meant
everyone
to be
would have had to learn find out about.
I will
new
say,
character.
I will say, a lot of things in that battle went really in your favor. I was expecting you to have to try and flee. That was the intent of the conflict at that point, but like, bad dice rolls on my point, good tactics on your point, like, it was, you know. I mean, there was part of that where I wanted him to run away with you, because you can't teleport unless you have a willing target.
What would have happened?
A hostage, yeah.
He was taking you as a hostage, and he was trying to basically hurt all the rest of your friends to where we would agree to come with
them. See, that's the risk, though. That's where it gets juicy. That's just like that's just like Vex with what's his name in the Fey realm when he was in the tree. He's like, do you accept this or
Sildur,
not? Right? Yeah. So he could.
Oh yeah.
Sondor could have she could have totally changed into like.
Yeah, I was gonna say yeah. We had a conversation about that. Was one of the few things that you've ever told us is a little bit of what might have happened in that fight. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, after we did the
he makes exit ramps.
Yep.
Just gotta take them.
Yeah, but best laid plans of the GM. You know, that's how it works.
I love my little cup too. It's so wonderful.
It's very pretty.
Ashley.
Yes.
Okay. What does Fern think about all these potential connections she has been making with various other entities? She's the granddaughter of a hag, has a connection to a champion of the Hells, a boon from a ghost pirate, and the potential of a primordial shard. Well, I think this. I think. I'm just really in the mode of saying yes to everything.
Laugh, live, love, Alexandria.
Yes.
It's
absolutely just literally saying yes to everything. It's the year of yesing. Where I'm just like, sure, let's give it a try. You're the bull.
I'm just waiting for like someone to show up and you having to do the, baby, I've said a lot of things, and I'm sure I said them to you.
Oh my god.
Can you hold your hair back? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like it's interesting. If I could put it that way. If Fern survives this campaign, that she could very well become like that one canonic lore character who's kind of knows everybody.
I was gonna say.
You know?
You're like, you know all the big names. Like Orym has the Tempest. Anybody else have big fuck off people?
No.
Not really. And you got like seven. Count? Who?
Yeah.
Does Delilah count?
Delilah counts.
But you know Ladna, who's connected with Delilah. You've now met people of Vox Machina and Whitestone. You have connections to the Fey realm. You have connections to the Primordials, possibly. You have all these different. Now the Hells. And just like,
devil.
Yeah, you may become like the favor broker of Alexandria if you wanted to. You could be like, what do you need? I got someone.
Hey, I got something for you.
He's got any party, anywhere on the planet.
Like a favor broker?
That's right,
Nana. That's right.
You're kind of the people, it could work.
Nobody made a deal with your Nana yet, by the way.
No.
I would totally.
If we see her again, I'm gonna.
I hope you do.
We can both make a deal with Nana.
Amazing.
I mean, you guys are in a place of preparation, so do whatever you think you got to do before you get ready to go.
We're doing it.
Yeah, Fern is just networking. You know, just like.
Girl bossing her way through
Xandar. Girl bossing her way through.
Fern's LinkedIn is off the hook.
I love God. This. She's the only one who uses it, is why.
Uh-huh. She's got an incredible Rolodex. Fern is the person who's at Artist Alley just taking everyone's business card.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But then she actually follows you on all of the accounts.
Yep.
Yes. Follow for follow.
Yeah.
It's a little black scroll. What you have.
Yes,
oh yes, a little black scroll.
Little black scroll.
That's my little black scroll.
Perfect.
Mine says, you are always so delighted to get a new map. Yes, I am. What is it about the maps that appeal to you? They are wonderful. First, it's the appreciation of all the energy that goes into them because they're all different textures, they're different materials, the edges are all frayed differently, they've been stained, they've been burned, sometimes they have like blood drizzle on them. And then you get into the map itself. Like, sometimes they're very detailed, sometimes they're like roughly made, the names change. The AOR map was really like the apex map for me because it had like the question marks, the things that you had to figure out and discover. The A and A2 was a part of the riddle with the Tomb Takers later, and it was like, that was just where it gets juicy. So having it like in my hands, I feel like I'm trying to like, where's Waldo, that motherfucker, and figure out like look for the tiniest upside down tree and be like, I found it. I flipped it over, I held it up to the light. I don't put anything past Matt. So like having a tactile thing that could be a clue, and especially when it's a small piece of a larger puzzle, that's the part that like, I, you know, I'll go home and I'll like look through the map and be like, it's this part of the Shattered Teeth because it looks like this, it matched up to this fan drawn part of it. Yeah. I figured it out.
So is it the map or is it having something tactile?
About it, yeah.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, I do love being the Vanna White of the maps, you know, and working it. But I also just feel like there's always an answer in there, and sometimes I don't know what the question is yet, and that's the best part.
Some point, I want to like hold one over a candle and see if like a lemon juice.
Something, yeah, like in the Shattered Teeth one, it had the previous locations of the islands, depending on when the map was drawn, and then where they had moved to in different directions. So cool. So it's a chaotic movement from what it looks like, but also I know he's trying to tell us something.
I want to make an animated version of the map that just slowly, that's like a...
Yes, yeah. It just, yeah. Yeah, because you hide things in maps.
I do.
We've seen it.
Even back like way back when.
Oh, yeah.
I remember there was a
map
old that home campaign. There was this whole like subterranean cave network that they were going through. And they were going through all these like weird twisting caves with like stalactites, and I had drawn it out on the graph paper. Beautiful. And then it took a while for Taliesin to realize, oh, this is a body.
We're in a giant
a giant's corpse. Oh. And you could like see where the skull and they were like going through the, like,
oh,
the
no.
interior of its skeleton.
Gotta get the fuck out of here.
Oh,
it was cool.
That was a fun night. That was a good day.
I want to go back to Aeor so bad.
That was a long, oh man.
I loved it there.
Should go visit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Right. Did you hear that? He's provoking us.
Yes, he is provoking.
It's my job to provoke you.
I love it.
Shout out Devaru, by the way. Does an amazing match.
Yes,
Devaru.
God. Oh, so good. There's a profound difference between how Ashton interacts with Percy and with Allura. What is his opinion on the... it's so fun. Arcanist ally.
Arcanist.
Arcanist ally, thank you, my god. And how does she compare to Lord Rollo in their esteem? I've kindly finally figured out, because I was trying to figure out why Ashton and Percy were not quite getting along, and I finally figured out it's because they are extremely similar people.
Really?
Yes. They have a lot in common. A lot of family trauma, a lot of ego and personal grievance, a lot of undealt with emotional issues and a problem maintaining emotional issues. They also tend to think that they are the only adult in the room. It's just that Percy also has monstrous amounts of money and privilege. And on every conceivable level, and Ashton does not and thinks these things are terrible. It's just like this one fundamental level of like, it's kind of a dark mirror of what either of them could have become. And kind of, honestly, poverty and bad luck is what made Percy really terrible once he had, you know, finally gone anyway. It was living rough after he had been kicked out of Whitestone.
Yeah.
That made him turn into a vengeance monster. So really? Yeah, so there's a lot of like weird, I think the similarities bother definitely like under like get underneath Ashton's skin, but also it's also kind of like why he likes being there too. Mm-hmm. It is like being able to yell at a different version of yourself.
Yeah.
And be shitty to them. And Laura, yeah, Laura just seems like she's getting shit done and is not like she seems like somebody who actually deserves their respect and actually is like getting shit done. I don't have a better way of putting it other than like authority and respect must be earned. Mm. And has not.
Well, the question I have about Allura in there.
What?
There's a question about Allura in there.
Is there?
A great segue.
Should I pull that one out?
Should find that one.
Sure.
Find the Allura question. Cheat.
Where is? She I'm told cheating. Me to do it. She
Bring
told me.
All the fortune cookies I'm and find.
If I can hold this thing right.
If that's the last one, then that might, because they don't.
Of course, it's the last one I pull. That's always how it works. I'll get the other ones. Get it back the fuck in there. Come on.
Do this for you, Dan.
I'm very curious about what Percy thinks about Ashton, but that's for a later conversation.
We can talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Later on. This is the third campaign that Allura has showed up to be an ally to the main party. What is it like to bring her in once more? Do you still think of her as your own avatar within the world? Yes and yes. The reason Allura came back the third time is because Allura is my avatar and is like my one through line that's kind of like my little tether to Exandria. And so I brought her into each campaign intentionally to be like
a little everybody. No wonder everybody likes her.
I love it. Yeah.
This is why everybody likes Allura, is because it's Matt.
Yeah, it's me coming in to play with you guys for a minute. But yeah, like she was the. She really was the first NPC in Exandria that I spent a lot of time developing. Like her and Kima and their history with Thordak, and like she was the first real person of perceived power and influence in the world of Exandria that took to Vox Machina. Mm-hmm. And was the first NPC that really kind of I felt a connection with and was like, there's a lot about this that I would want to be in this world in Allura. And because she had the connection with you guys so early in that campaign, it wasn't until a while I looked back and was like, you know, I think this is my self-insert, you know, in kind of a way. And so, yeah, she's just fun to bring back. Also to see all your faces when she comes back.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best.
It's always the very slow description, like dropping little things. And mm-hmm. for me, it's always waiting for the golden braids.
And you're like there she is! Oh, the best.
So good.
She's great.
That miss damn that. Alabaster Tower.
I miss that tower. That tower was so nice.
Because we were trying to break in and being sneaky and fuck.
It did not go well.
I always feel like when Allura shows up, it's like, oh, we're on the right path. Okay, Allura's here. Everything's good. Everything's okay now.
Yeah.
Mom's home.
An adult's in the room.
Yep. Mom's here. It's going to be okay.
Steve Rogers walks into the scene. Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's that movie now. All right. I hear y'all having some kind of trouble.
Oh, thanks, Mom. Oh, good. What, you got your shield? Okay, 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 we're good.
Don't hold the cell phone.
Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right. Shall I?
Yes,
you shall.
Okay.
Please.
What you got?
Fern was used as a hostage by Ludinus. How did she feel being in this position? What was going through your mind while talking to Ludinus one-on-one?
Hot.
Yeah, it was a little hot, right?
Ooh, it was a little hot. It was a little hot.
Did you try flirting? I'm trying to remember.
Probably.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I can't fully remember the conversation, but I feel like I don't know if Fern wants the shard, weirdly enough. Because wait, no, that's not what this question was. I looked at another one. How does she feel about being
You can answer whatever you want to, though. Let your fern out.
I feel like, because you saying that Ludinus probably would have taken Fern, there was a moment where I was like, I almost said, like, it's okay, I'll just go with you. Just don't hurt anybody. Mm. But I was too scared. Yeah. I was like, well, I don't want to leave everybody though, because Matt might actually say yes. And then what? So I think.
That's that regret.
I know.
And then you get a week off.
Next time, say yes.
Yeah.
When Ford had his power janked, I went up to Matt at the mid-show break and I was like, I might just leave. And he was like, Okay. Like, could just leave in the middle of the night and start wandering off to go find powers. And he was like, if you do, I'll just find a way to come back to you at some point. I was like, okay, let me think about it.
I thought about it. But, I feel Fern is very scared of lewdness, but there's still that curiosity of, like, what is making this man tick? I want to figure it out, even though I'm scared of him. Because maybe if I can figure out who he is, I can fix all this. So there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of curiosity with, like, I can fix him.
You can scry, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you should try and reach out.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
We've tried scrying on him. And
so
it,
many times.
Right.
And he denies that. That's so right, finding that's other right. means of communication, if you
yeah, but that was
to,
before the hot abduction I session. Mean, maybe he will accept the collect call this time.
Yeah. Excuse me. Are you there?
I just feel like anytime Fern would be like alone with somebody, it would be less them being a hostage with her and more of a you're trapped in here with me situation.
Yes. You're in here with me.
Fern would just be like, this is fine.
Yeah.
Let's chat. This. Let's have a conversation.
Probably. That's valid. Probably. Yeah.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yes. All your things.
Grog is one of the few, you son of a bitch, one of the few Vox Machina members that not have made an appearance yet. What do you think Grog is up to right now?
His elbows.
He could be in jail, just for normal everyday shit, picking fights.
Okay.
He, I know he hosts a tournament.
But he's a grand poobah.
Of the doink of all dissident.
Yeah, he has a title.
It doesn't make, does not make him above the law.
That's true.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yes, diplomatic immunity.
I'm sure he's been bailed out a maximum number of times, to which both Percy and Vex have said no more. No more.
There's a fun.
Chill out.
He has probably gone searching for love. Like Joey from Friends, he'll never find it.
Good.
You just haven't met the right sword,
yes,
buddy.
That's
right. It doesn't need to be bladed either. Blunt instruments, they love to.
Can you imagine if Grog had charter car? What's the
charger carker?
What's the
sword? Sword. The pirate.
I know.
Char. What?
What's the sword?
Grass to char.
Grass to char.
I want to make a weapon now. It's called Charizard.
Aurora.
Dude, I will never live that down for the rest of my life.
It was one of my favorites. God, I also think he's so smart that if not properly supervised, he could have been swayed by parties unknown into, you know, unknowing nefarious activity.
Oh no!
Just saying. You know, with total intentions
of
to do good
to
things.
Of course, to do the right thing, but
there's a sucker born every minute.
Doesn't know.
And Grog's around every minute.
Oh boy!
Wait, collect your buddy.
Don't spoil what they fight on Ruidus.
Oh my God! Welcome.
Could you imagine?
To planet Moon.
How did you get here? I don't know.
I am king of planet Moon.
So literally, we just show up and you're like, I'm on the moon.
I love it.
Is everything red to you guys?
Your eyes are broken.
That's really funny.
Might have raged one too many times. I'm only seeing red.
How does Ashton feel about fate taking notice of him after all this time? It doesn't feel like fate necessarily to Ash. It feels like history. I don't have a better way of... Doesn't feel like quite like fate. It feels like I'm trying to very specific words for this. Fate is not necessarily something Ashton will ever really take a hold of, even when it's shoved directly in their face, because it comes with too many complications that they do not have enough therapy to deal with. But the idea that they were more or less a mighty prince banished from the kingdom, who has now come to reclaim the throne, is a lot more romantic in their eyes, of just like, of the notion of
being given a path, if not a fated path, a esteemed path forward to back to claim what is rightfully theirs.
It feels more like a story that has an ending.
Yes, absolutely.
Even if you don't know what it is, it feels like, okay, this is going somewhere.
Yeah, for the first time in their life. They're not, you know, their original belief of like, I'll be dead in a decade and no one will care. Certainly not me. So having like, oh no, I have shit that matters now and it's not about other people, it's about me, and that's weird. And another good group again that, you know, probably not gonna peace out on me. It's interesting. They're starting to, they would never thought they would really care about where they came from. So it's been fun.
It's been.
Why?
We're doing
why?
Ash didn't even leapt into the water after Laudna. Like, there's been a lot of taking care of everyone else that Ashton has been.
As you say, it's the punk thing of once you've made friends, it's like take a bullet.
Yeah.
Everybody else, throw that bullet back at them. You really don't care.
Yeah, you made that
like,
call.
You pick that circle, and it is ride or die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My heart.
Thank you for understanding the punk.
Oh.
Let's do one more speed round. Let's just burn through this.
This is now what this is one.
Yeah.
Matt, the war room scene was quite impressive in terms of talking to yourself.
Oh, jeez.
How was that for you as a DM? It was nerve-wracking. Setting up a scenario where logically there's going to be a lot of NPCs all talking to each other is a challenge, because I don't want to mess it up or make it not interesting for the rest of you, because it's a scene where it's a lot of like sit back and watch other characters talk. I want to make sure that it's a good way of, you know, being exposition for things that are happening in the world outside of what your experience is, that'll help inform your vision and choices of what's to come, and kind of the macro scale of things that are happening, you know, across the world. So it's me wanting to convey information through these characters' eyes, but I want to not make it boring or the me show, because it's the last thing I want. So it's a little nerve-wracking, but it's also an exciting opportunity to do just that, to be like, you know what you know from the world, and now this is an opportunity for different people who have different perspectives, who have been doing their own investigations, all coming together and sharing what they've discovered, and then from that point figure out what the next, you know, order of business is. Mm-hmm. So I hope it wasn't boring.
I love it when you call him. That's great.
When I call him.
Call him.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Council of Mercer.
Between them all, they get just enough sleep for one person.
All right. How does Fern feel about possibly taking on the shard? Does she even want to wield its power? How does she feel about her fire abilities coming up in this way? Yeah, there's complicated feelings with the shard, because, you know, Fern has seen a version of herself that has gone down a very bad path in EXU, and I still don't. Fern still doesn't know which time is a weird soup, so she doesn't know where in the timeline that Fern was, and if every sort of step that I'm taking, it's like, is this gonna lead me down to that path, to the bad Fern? So it's complicated on taking on new powers, because it's like, well, I don't know if this is gonna be different. And I mean, it could be fun. I mean, I wanna put on that harness so bad, just to see what it does. I mean, we kinda know, but I'm just like, ooh. You know, just because.
Sure,
yes, if there's anything, yes, I'm going full steam ahead with being the button pusher, because it's fun, but it's complicated. The shard is complicated. Plus, it also doesn't feel like hers.
Well, we'll have a private conversation about the shard at some point before the game. Yeah, I'd love to roll around a few ideas, but.
You want to roll around with me?
Well, I mean, that was also offered, so we'll get into that as well.
Just roll around together and figure out what we're going to do here.
Clever things to say, and then they died.
And then they died.
Those are my favorite interpersonal debates, is that.
We're just rolling.
Let's just roll in the hay.
I love it. From Ruka. Chetney has now received two visions from the Matron of Ravens. Does this goddess appeal to him in any way? Or does this feel more like a sign that his time is soon up? Especially with how close the long rest D100 rolls have been. Danny!
What? Danny!
Unbelievable!
I love that.
Sounds like she's been paying attention to you, Chetney.
Listen, I said it when we were outside. I've done like test rolls of a D100 roll like 50 or 60 times. I've never hit trip zeros. Ever.
I have.
You have? You have done it before?
Once.
Okay.
Once.
Yeah, but like if you really do it.
Yeah.
Are you really dead?
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we agreed
toast.
To that.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, that's,
but then what?
That's the whole point.
You
gotta hold it. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But to answer the question.
Travis as CEO needs to take a break.
I really like it. I love it.
I don't know if the matron. The matron not appeals in terms of like a deity, but I think it's the first time that anything beyond the realm has like reached out and given a gift or shown anything. So I think Chetney and his inflated ego thinks like, yeah, matron's catching on to the hotness. Better late than never, sister. Recognize my importance in the end of days. I think that's part of it. But also, I'm not worried about it. Those trip zeros. This is gonna be the video they.
Don't say that shit.
Those trip zeros are never gonna happen.
I was genuinely more interested in the vision question. I just thought that the triple zero. I just thought that the death rolls was funny.
Yeah, I've done a two. I think I've done a one before, and I've done like 98.
Yeah, you got real close.
Like 98, 99. I remember those.
But close don't count.
Not worried about it.
Does not count.
Not worried.
All right, and the last kind of, I suppose it's, what is it like for you to explore Whitestone as a different character? How does it feel getting to meet Percy's children?
I am, I love it. I love it so much.
The Derolo kids, especially, like, Gwen is my favorite. I mean,
she and how you play her, I love her.
Jeez. Gwen is going to be Percy one day. Like,
yes.
Except somehow both better and worse. I'm really like.
Yeah.
Yes.
He is turning one of his kids into a nightmare. I am so excited.
Yes.
I want a Derolo kids one shot so bad.
That would be amazing.
That would be great.
I also, I'm kind of hoping that we get to have at some point a little bit of a Whitestone, like. Everything's spooky, like, because all the spooky shit happens. Whitestone is the spooky town. Like, if you're gonna have someone build a, you know, an undead Frankenstein, it's gonna happen in Whitestone.
Right.
If you're gonna have, like, the spirits of your, you know, weird ancestors come back, it's gonna be in, like, Whitestone's
House,
perfect
for that.
That's
the game you GM, because you know Whitestone so well.
I overcook Whitestone real hard, especially when I'm on the spot.
That's kind of a fun idea. We'll chamber that.
We'll chamber that, because there's a couple bits of Whitestone history that I'm so deep in, and they like exist almost nowhere.
I'm just gonna be on the side the whole time, just scribbling, like I do every game.
Perfect. I want to get into Wolf Derolo and that whole shit.
I love them all so much.
Yeah, but great, great, great.
I still want to know more about Melanie.
And Ivan? Oh, they got a vibe. Yeah, we'll get into that.
Anyway,
why don't we pull from the Tower of Inquiry?
Okay. Me?
You said K.
Okay.
It's okay.
And then four more Ks after that first K. That's five Ks.
That's
a lot of K.
I'm a chili bean, you guys. It's chilly in here.
So you're a chili bean?
Yeah, I'm a chili bean.
I don't want to go for this one because it's...
Which one? I was thinking of boy.
Oh, yeah.
You want to make it super hard?
Yeah, do it.
Super hard. Do it, do it.
Chaos.
Oh, that looks like El Cinder.
Have you moved it yet? Because once you've moved it...
I did, so I gotta just do it.
You gotta finish it.
It's good.
Yes!
Yes!
Oh no!
I'm so happy.
No, wait, she's not out of the woods yet. She's not out of the woods.
That's true.
Oh, she's
doing it right.
Oh!
Yes.
I saw that pulse at the end.
Plus, Ashley Jenkins.
So proud of you.
Thank you.
Killed it.
Oh, I love this. I love this because I'm an animal person. Brody Heath asks, if you were an old wizard's familiar, what type of familiar would you be?
Ooh.
Shout out to Brody.
Mr. Brody, sir.
Oh, I always just think of the pets from Strawberry Shortcake because those are all awesome pets.
God. I'd be a dog.
Wow.
I would be a dog.
What breed?
What kind of dog?
I'm gonna go golden retriever.
Yeah, it tracks.
It's a good classic.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go classic. Little doofy. We'll give you a good snuggle.
Yeah. Big old floppy ears and yeah. smile. Yeah.
Yeah.
For familiar, I'm somewhere between like a ferret and an otter, I think.
A ferret?
Yeah. Well, you can't be like familiars are smaller animals, right?
I mean,
they can vary.
Yeah, you can get around and get weird.
They're companion
animals. I'm a Kodiak bear.
So sorry.
I'm a Kodiak bear. You can bring me into the supermarket, no problem.
No one ever has an armadillo.
Kodiak.
No, I love the idea of like an armadillo because then you also just have. Well, they can also roll.
They can. Cool
yeah. So you can actually have. You could have a.
There were armadillos in the original Dracula movie, and so I always imagined that Dracula has armadillos as familiars.
Oh shit, that's right. Yeah, I would. I love the idea of like just an animal that you're like, well, this is weird and adorable. Oh shit, it's going really fast.
In the original Dracula movie, and the reason that I know that is because I really love the Monster Squad,
and they do
armadillos in the Monster Squad, and it's an homage to the original Dracula.
Are you talking about Bela Lugosi Dracula or Nosferatu?
No, I'm talking about Bela Lugosi Dracula.
Yeah, Nosferatu.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Armadillos are funny.
I know, I love it, but like it's not specifically not.
And how they walk on their little toes.
Yeah, he's just a little...
Yes.
Like with a cute wizard and who's just kind of doing their thing, but is also really dangerous.
A little cowboy hat.
You gotta get
the worst witch.
Like whoever the worst witch grows up to be from the Halloween special, the worst witch.
Yep. Little constable, little Texas Ranger.
Yeah, Tim Curry in little suit. Okay.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Classic.
Can look it up. Look it up.
Did you bring an animal?
No, I didn't yet. I would probably say duck-billed platypus.
Because it's
amphibious. So it's weird. Kind of adorable, but kind of fucked up and weird. Yeah. And
little
like
spike behind.
Yeah, a little venomous, like fucking yeah. like unnecessarily dangerous for its design. Like it.
No, it's a kit so build weird. From all the parts you have left.
Yeah,
over
yeah, your yeah. Other, yeah like, it's the kitchen sink of nature. I fucking
what a
love
great
it.
Great animal for you.
Join this one just because I really love animals.
Yes, what do you got?
I think that I would be a bird. I'd be some kind of like weird fucked up bird that can right. only like fly for like a little bit, but can also still like type with its beak. Ooh. And so like I can still like, I can be like helpful in that way, but I can't go very long distances. Like so I'm really only helpful with taking notes.
Interesting.
Pretty great.
Yeah, like what's the person do the little dance sideways, backwards,
exactly.
yeah.
Just like perfect. Scribbling like little like claw marks on the things, but it's like a scribe or a notary, so it's like only intelligible to me.
I like it.
I'm gonna try and pronounce this correctly. Okay. Thank you, Brody Heath.
Yes,
I believe is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Remember, if you have a who's it, whatcha do's it, or whatever for our Tower of Inquiry, you can enter it at critroll.com/tower.
Yeah.
And thank you for not putting the exclamation point at the end of that. I appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere because we're about to do our very first official anxiety game gauntlet after the break and answer.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
And some leftover tankard questions. We're already having anxiety about what that means.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to the podcast version of this show or just don't like fun, well, bye. I guess this is not, yeah, I don't know. What are you doing?
Bye.
Bye.
That's it for the podcast version of this episode of Foresighted Dive. In the video version, we wrap up each episode by playing some games, which don't always translate well to an audio-only format. Honestly, it's mostly yelling, truly. So be sure to check out the rest of the episode via the VOD for the full chaos. If you've enjoyed this deep dive into the campaign, be sure to drop us a rating and a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. Your thoughts may just encourage a new critter to take the plunge. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/criticalrole and youtube.com/criticalrole, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. We'll see you again next month. Bye-bye.